Welcome to the On The Bounce Show, your friendly place to start your sporting weekend every single week. Now, last week, the Springboks, the mighty Springboks, hammered the Scots, and they'll be doing the same to the English this weekend at Twickenham. Yeah, it really is going to be quite a thing to enjoy. You know, not only are the Boks going to beat an old foe at a great ground, but the rest of the rugby world gets to cheer against England again. That's kind of how it works, really, in all sports. Everybody supports their team and shouts against the Poms. Now, a part of me thinks, like, is this actually right? Because they pretty much invented all the sports that we love and enjoy. And if it wasn't for them, who knows? We'd be watching dog racing or, I don't know, alligator wrangling. Who knows what would happen if it wasn't for the English? But do we feel this way because it's like a colonial hangover? Or the fact that we just don't like these smug gits? We want them to see their demise at every single turn. Whatever the case may be, today's show is all about unpacking that. We really want to get into the subject. Sadly, we couldn't find a passionate or articulate English person to actually have in the studio. So we got you the next best thing. A delusional Man United fan. My co-host, Sandile Shangas.
Don't let the haters call me delusional. It's just results. Before I get into it, Ben, let's talk about your weekend before I celebrate with you. What did you get up to this weekend?
Well, I actually did some winning. So, yes, two trophies came to the household this week. Golf's the one thing I can bank on with me and my emotions.
I don't even, you know what joke I'm going to run into on this one? My boy is probably, and is going to win more trophies this year than Arsenal. Yeah. And I am definitely going to hold him to that. So, how many trophies this season?
So, it was the Royal Rumble. So, we play, it's like our golf school's Ryder Cup, basically. Yeah. Happens every single 2 years at Royal Johannesburg. Yeah. I captain the red team, good bunch of Oaks. So, we retained the trophy on that, which is really great. It's the Royal Rumble trophy. And then on top of that, you know, our team, which is, they're just the absolute dream team. We sank the putt on the final moment of the whole thing, down to the last guy.
Saw that on your IG.
And then yesterday at Stain City. I love Stain City so much. So we got to play the Delta Airways Trade Masters.
Yes, sir.
Boom.
And you got it right. And first here place. Is the trophy.
First
My
place.
Boy, first place. He won't be doing that with his football club anytime soon. To throw it in
Thanks.
There.
I mean, look, I'm happy to get straight back to reality because ultimately I'm just like a hack golf, handicap golfer. So those wins are great. They're not exactly wins. Yes, Sandile, you're so right.
James, I'm not even allow him to continue. James, should we talk about it? I mean, we both, once again, are on winning sides. It's been a good 4 weeks for us. Once again, being a hater of Man City and Arsenal have paid off. Before I get into my whole rant.
I feel like you're just words right now. You don't even care what you're saying. All you want to say is Arsenal suck.
This is what happens when Man United wins.
Right. What did he say? The resurgent Man United. James, how did you feel this weekend about, you know, Arsenal once again laming out and Man City choking once again? I'm not going to make that reference, but you know what I'm talking about.
Four losses, 11 days.
Weekend on weekend, Ben, whenever Arsenal just, to put it plainly, fuck it. Whenever Arsenal fuck it, I think about one of the early shows we had this year and you said Arsenal were winning the league. The whole league.
Yes, and it's still going to happen. No. Okay, I've got to double down now. I can't pull out now. I mean,
come
That's
on. What she said, but anyway.
The train has left the station in this one, unfortunately, James.
And I've been waiting, you know, for just a real great time in the show to give that highlight reel of this is it. We're going to take it all, and we're going to do a count now. I'm throwing people off. We're going to take Ben's winnings, how many trophies this year, versus Arsenal's. And I'm going to think of a great, great fine on how we're going to measure that. So we're like two. Hey, Ben, two up. Shout out to you.
I've actually won three trophies
three.
This year. Okay, so I'm overachieving. Arsenal needs someone to pull a treble out of their lame asses. Which I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was disjointed, but sure. I get it. I get the sentiment. And it really was. When I watched that Chelsea game, it was like, Havertz did score off sideline. Cool. At the end, all they had to do was let the fucking ex-Chelsea guy finish it off, and then that Frenchie comes in the way, scuffs it, shanks it, done. 1-1.
Oh, man. It just feels like Arsenal are finding new ways to blow it every week, you know, because this was meant to be the Odegaard game, and same shit, different week.
Okay. Yes, we get it. We'll get into that. Well, actually, we can't even get into that later because one of those stupid fucking international breaks that nobody cares about.
Yep.
Okay, but look, I've taken it on the chin like the last 2 weeks. Arsenal have taken the jam out of my donut, but I soldier on because I've got so many other things to enjoy about sports. And this weekend's also a great fight weekend.
Yep.
We've got UFC 309. It's the Stipe Jones fight that should have happened 3 years ago. And pretty much this is just like, can we get this done now so the world can move on? Mm. And then it's the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight this weekend.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot of shit about it. But I think now I'm excited about it because it looks like Mike Tyson is back in shape. We've got the extension. We've got the new Netflix docu that came out. So there's real hype about it. And I think, once again, it's one of those showcases of boxing where if you're not a boxing fan, this is the place for you to get into it. So, guys, watch it at 3 o'clock. Please, it's going to be awesome. So, yeah, I'm excited about that.
Okay, so that's 3 o'clock Saturday, if you're wondering. So obviously we'll get into the whole weekend preview as we go towards the end of the show. But the show today is all about England, English sports, their contribution to it, and the way that they currently play it. I think it's a really cool topic because they have given us so much. They really have. And even now, in like their shitness and how terrible they are at a lot of sports.
Some goats that come up.
Yeah, no, like they've got a few people. Like there was the golden Andy Murray era. There's Mark Cavendish in cycling.
You said golden. Let's go.
And I'm fucking pressed to go further than that.
Johnny Wilkinson,
they're pretty handy in the Olympics. But the whole thing is they've given so much and they continue to give so much. Yeah. So after the break, we're going hard into English sports, what they invented and what they still try and play decently. All right, welcome back. English sports. When I first thought about this topic for a show, I thought like maybe not for a whole show. But then I got into the actual research of all the sports that the English people have invented.
Yep.
So bear with me when I say English, because I also kind of mean Great Britain. So there are a few vagaries here, because obviously Great Britain is Scotland as well. Mm-hmm. And the Scots have been around forever. A lot of things happened there, right? And then when they started stealing things from around the world, they then started going out there. So they basically were very influential with the English, okay? So there's certain little caveats to this whole thing about where it starts.
Okay.
And obviously, sport is only a sport once it's competitive, right?
Right.
So Genghis Khan could have been kicking skulls around on a battlefield. The ancient Romans were probably playing a version of golf. In fact, actually, they were. There was a thing. Yeah. But until you have team versus team, winners and losers.
That's where it counts.
Someone making bets, trophies. Only then can it actually be classified as a sport.
Cool.
So that's what I'm prefacing this entire conversation around, is that, yes, somebody might have started something sooner, but the English, God bless them, they made these things actually work.
Let's go.
Sounds fair, right?
It sounds relatively fair, but I'm glad they suck at each and one of them. So
okay,
so we're going to get into it.
We're going to start with the obvious one, right? The Brits, they invented football. So again, could have been, there's various iterations of ball sports, those kind of things. Mm. But essentially, it started in 1340. So 1314 was the first kind of time that it was really coming together.
Right.
But between then and 1667, there were more than 30 laws that were put into place to ban people from playing football.
What the fuck?
Because it was seen as a distraction from men being productive and being like, you know, gentlemanly.
Okay. Little did they know moving forward what would happen. But
exactly. So then obviously things got more into it like in the 1700s. And then it was sort of certified, like confirmed, because the English public schools, which are private schools, I never understand why they're called public schools, but like the posh schools, they started playing it. And that's when football became football. And as you know, the FA, the Football Association, 1863.
Yeah, that's super awesome. But like I said, we're going to get into the success rate of English football and all the success rate of their leagues. I don't want to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, just thinking, like, for the origin of the game, obviously, the way we see it now, there hasn't been too many changes.
100%.
I mean, so many of the sports have changed so much. So basically, from the 1800s, football was football.
Football has been football.
And people often call it the beautiful game, but it's actually just the simple game. That's pretty much why it was so successful.
Kick it into the net.
Exactly. Kick the ball into the net. It's not hard. So rugby, now there's a couple of myths around rugby, which I find huge. It's like, I love a good story. Sometimes the truth doesn't have to get in the way.
Yeah.
But that whole thing about William Webb Ellis, you cannot find a confirming report about this oak.
It's like Will Chamberlain in the 100-point game. Nobody can ever confirm that story, yeah.
But William Webb Ellis is like the Robin Hood of sports.
Yeah.
Kind of sort of was there, kind of happened, maybe it didn't happen. Yeah. But the idea being that football was like the be-all and end-all.
Yeah.
And 1823, the legend has it.
He picks up
the... The legend has it, yes, that William Webb Ellis was playing football with his mates, didn't like it or wasn't good at it. He then picked up the ball and ran with it in the town of Rugby.
And then does it.
The more I dig into the story, the more this actually bullshit.
Yeah, thought so. We all need a hero, though, Ben. Don't kill us.
Because if you think about it, the first test match, okay, was played in 1871. You know how we know this? Because last week we spoke about it with the Rayburn Shield.
Oh, that stupid ass cup. It's a Suffolk cup.
Yeah. This is your new favorite thing. So the first test match was 1871, Scotland versus England.
Yep.
William Webb Ellis apparently picked the ball up in 1823. I don't know. But ultimately, it did come from England.
Cool.
The Scots and the English, they were the first guys. And they played each other for the first sort of 10 years. There was no one else really playing it. Okay, cool. And then as the empire expanded, everyone got into it. I mean, in the case of South Africa, basically, they found some angry Dutchmen who said, no, we'll fucking clap you at rugby.
We're better than you at this.
And nothing's changed ever since for the next hundred and however many years.
Yep, we're going to confirm still, it this weekend.
And they're still going to get clapped this weekend.
Yeah.
So 1895, interestingly enough, Rugby League was then created. Okay. So you know Rugby League is basically just 13 people, right? And they play it a bit disjointedly. So I reckon you had the kids who knew how to play rugby and then the guys who didn't have enough friends that couldn't make a full team. And they were also bad at rules.
So he just said, fuck it.
He just said, fuck it. Okay, well, this is our game now, rugby league. So, again, I've got to credit these Oaks for that because that's a sport that I love so much.
But we gotta get to the truth about, you know, Webb Ellis because somebody's got to come with an official, you know, fact or something about him actually picking up the soccer ball because I'm with you on this. It's giving too much myth. You know, there's no official, you know. There's no record of this.
Unfortunately, it's set in stone now because they play for the William Webb Ellis World Cup trophy.
Oh, man.
So it'll be an absolute scandal if they say, you know what, William Webb Ellis didn't exist. It wasn't a thing.
Something, someone else.
That's and then crazy. You got this World Cup with his name on it. Because it's so cool. It's a romantic story of how rugby was just a game of people who were frustrated with football.
Yep. No,
which ultimately, people who are frustrated with football watch rugby.
Is there any history of William Webb Ellis playing actual test rugby? No, just picked up a ball once.
Ran James, if he ran on in the 70s after picking the ball up in the 20s.
Come on, buddy.
I mean,
come on, buddy. Come on,
that's
buddy.
That's like uncovering the grave of Donnie Craven again to run after the box again. you go with no. So cricket, of course, we know is super, super old.
Yeah.
And is the gentlemanly sport, so it could not be any more British. Mm-hmm. It's basically, if cucumber sandwiches was a sport...
That would be cricket.
1597 was when it started kicking around. 1646, okay, this is a fun fact. 1646 was the first proper game in Kent. Can you guess what also happened on that game, which is synonymous with the sport right now? So bear in mind, 1646?
It can't be Ashes. It can't be.
No, so it was an English county game. It was just two English teams, right? Buggers having a go. What else that is a part of the game now was also in that 1646 game?
Fuck, come on, Ben. Just let me know, dude.
What? Okay. Fire throwers? No.
Yes.
Dancers? No. Pommy and Bungwa? No. Betting. They bet.
Betting.
They had that first game in 1646 and there was betting on the day.
That is crazy. I wonder what the hell they were betting.
Well, on just
like
runs,
what?
Like teams winning.
Oh, so cricket, man, that is wild. Cricket, okay.
Cricket and betting has been all hand in hand ever since.
I don't want to say anything about Hansi right now, but I didn't want to say a Hansi joke right now.
In 1646, there was a guy with a patch leather jacket in the crowd asking Oaks to say.
Then we're going to blame those Indian brews. I mean, come on, dude. English guys, own your corruption.
So 1877 is when the thing started really coming together.
Yep.
So back in those days, obviously, Australia was England's penal colony. So they were going back and forth. And there was things. And then they started to civilize themselves a little bit more. And then the first test match took place in 1877.
Jeez, okay, shout out cricket for making it this far.
Boy, was it fucking boring. The run rate of the entire test match was like 1.6 runs and over.
Sheesh.
Nobody hit a six.
And you know how much I feel about test cricket. So imagine one and
this
over.
Game would have absolutely killed you. And Australia ended up winning that first one.
Oh, my goodness, okay.
Do you guys think that would have been a time when the Proteas would have been good at cricket with a run rate like that?
Hey, leave the Proteas out of this.
I'm just asking.
Well, we
just
if you go back to that time, again, it would have been angry Dutchmen who were fighting the British and being disgruntled by the British.
So nothing much has changed.
Because, I mean, this is what I love about the origins of sport, is that it ties back into origins of obviously how countries got together and how they started moving. Because when you think about it, sport's a luxury.
Yep.
Because in the early times, you were either raping, pillaging, some form of war, or trying to find food. The fact that you could now play sport was an absolute luxury. It means that you've tamed the beast of life.
Was the first World Cup in England?
The first World Cup cricket was in England, yes.
Oh, okay. Who
1975,
won that?
The West Indies beats India, I think it was.
That's a crazy outcry that they didn't win the first one.
Well, I don't think they were ever going to. Because the Windies in the 70s were. So fun fact, Women's World Cup cricket. Well, actually, I'll ask you, have a bash at this. So the men's World Cup cricket started in 1975. Final was at Lord's. They played in white with a red ball. When did the first women's cricket World Cup start?
I'm going to go with 1990.
James, any guesses here?
I'm going to go 2001. It's really bad for women's sports.
I said 90. You didn't even give them.
Well, you're both wrong. 2 years prior, 1973.
Woo!
The Women's Cricket World Cup came before the Men's Cricket World Cup.
Wow.
Yeah. That's like a...
That's a...
And same teams?
Chicken and egg.
Final vibes, or who were we looking at there?
So they were more organized than the...
Well, I mean, they might have been seen like, let's have a trial run of the World Cups. Let's get the women to play it. In fairness, I couldn't find a lot about this. Yeah, enough to kind of share, or I just kind of lost interest.
Again.
But it's... Women's World Cup cricket came before the men's.
Who won? Oh, you couldn't find too much about
Sorry,
this.
Sorry, Sandini. Fuck, you really got to push her.
We're Bellis all over again. Did he really exist? Did they really play in 73?
No, we'll definitely give it to them. The women definitely played 1973 first World Cup. The obvious one to look at is to say, right, the English definitely invented golf because Scotland's the home of golf.
Yep.
You look at that and you think, well, no one else would have been that sophisticated or organized. And it was boring in the beginning, right? Because if you're playing other games, it's against people. There's battle aspects to it. So golf. Ancient Romans played a game called Paganica.
Is that golfish?
Paganica? I'm guessing they hit balls towards targets.
I'm just giving badminton or something strange.
Well, all these derive from basically someone saying, I'm bored, what do you want to do? And they're like, I don't know.
Kick a human skull around.
I can't eat anymore, so let's hit something. And that's how a lot of sports basically started. Yeah. So Paganica was, I don't know, just called a 15th century in Scotland, though, that's when it first started to happen. Okay. And then in 1764, the first full 18-hole golf course that we know and love, St. Andrews, that's when it came about.
Okay.
So it took them a long time to put 18 holes together. But essentially, that's what happened because... The old Scottish links. I'm giving you way too much of a history here, but the old Scottish links.
You're about to get into it.
Yeah. The reason why it's called the links is because it was the land that nobody used, which linked the farmland to the ocean, to the beach. You couldn't farm there, so it was just land. It was just like, ugh, whatever.
And you still reckon golf not boring for that incredibly exciting
story? So the buggers thought, you know what, we'll play a game on this links land, and we'll call it the links, as in the golf links.
Okay, cool.
And the first Open Championship, which is the first major, the oldest tournament in the world, 1860.
Won by a Scottish oak, I'm assuming.
Old, very old Tom Morris.
No, okay.
I think he was English.
All right.
Okay, so some of the other, like, again, we're talking about sports, as in they still get played right now.
Right.
So I'm sure they invented all kinds of other things, but I'm going to go into some of the smaller ones here before we get to a couple of shockers towards the end. But badminton.
Cool.
The English invented that in 1873. But obviously they played badminton and were like, I don't know about this. I don't like saying the word cock. It's a bit quick.
The cock was quick.
Yeah, okay, far too quick. I hate having to pluck my chicken every time I want a cock. I think there was a lot of things about badminton that just didn't wash really well. So then in 1874, 1 year later, this oak called Charles Wingfield, he was like, no, got a plan. He invented tennis.
Shout out to him. He was just like, listen.
It had to happen that way, right?
I can't continue like this.
It had to happen like that. Oh, right. So he went from playing with a cock to playing with balls. And ultimately,
guys, I swear, it's not my fault.
He had the patents for the equipment and the rules of tennis. old Charles there, Charles Wingfield. He basically, he had the guy.
That's so amazing, yeah.
And then from there, 1877, Wimbledon started. So 3 years later, tennis was such a hit. All the other sports I've spoken about here, it was decades before something decent happened.
3 years.
Charles came in there, 1874, invented tennis. 1877, Wimbledon on the go.
But it had to be a rich man's sport if it's that, you know, that quick turnaround.
It had to be, but I think it was just such a hit. And obviously lawn tennis was, like, that's what tennis was called. Yeah. It was actually known as lawn tennis. You couldn't fathom playing on any other surface.
Yeah.
But now at the same time, obviously, like I was saying, there's war all over the place. Mm. Very warring people back in those days. Yeah. Table tennis was then invented. Why? Because the soldiers had fuck all to do.
Just got to find something to do. Who invented that?
They had fuck all to do, basically. So they thought, well, I like this tennis thing. I watch Wimbledon. Yeah. Let's make our own table tennis. Yeah. As in a table for tennis. And they took old like cigar tops.
Okay.
And then they made balls out of corks. And they just clapped on a little table with books as a net.
And then some smart dude said, let's formalize it. So simple. It's not that complicated.
In 1901, that smart dude did it, and he called it ping pong. And then from there, the Asians were like, hang on a second, we're going to fuck you up on this.
We're the champions now.
And that was the last time an English guy won a tennis game.
That's crazy. I'm feeling them. You know? I'm feeling them.
It's just like, I know we're making light of how it went from badminton to table tennis, but it's not even exactly a stretch. I reckon that's kind of like how it worked, right? A Canadian guy called James Naismith in 1891. Where's Larry O'Brien in the scheme of things? Is he in the 90s? What yeah.
James Naismith, because the Basketball Association is called Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so go back to this Larry Oak. When was he kicking around?
Larry O'Brien is... Just go on, finish this thing.
Okay, so the YMCA, Young Men's Christian Association, we all know what that is, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the YMCA started by George Williams. The song came well afterwards. The YMCA started to get kids or to get young men off the street and also for them not to fall prey to ruffians in society. So by having the guys around in these clubs, it was all very good, but they needed to do more than just young man Christian things.
Yes.
They also need to play a bit of sport. Mm. So what George Williams and the guys were saying is like, look, you can't play like the physical sports where guys could get like hurt or get too aggressive.
Yeah.
So our main man here, James Naismith, said, okay, I'm going to take all of these sports and I'm going to make a hybrid so that the guys in the YMCA can play this game. So he took literally rugby, lacrosse, aspects of football, all these things. And he made basketball. This oak. Basketball then became popular because most of the YMCAs were all in England. So without guys playing basketball in the YMCAs in England, the game would not have actually kicked on. And then Larry O'Brien, he was picking his ass. He wasn't even fucking close to being born.
Yeah.
He walked into the legacy of the YMCA and our man James Naismith.
Sting.
1800s.
Sting, P. Diddy. Sting and P. Diddy, you've got to say.
But how cool is that? The guy basically, he invented, okay, and it was quite crude in the beginning. I think it was 9-on-9.
Yeah.
I think the very first game, the score was 9-3. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that wasn't because they're 3 3-pointers. There was 9 goals to 3 goals.
Wasn't invented even at that time, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's how it started.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool how the YMCA became a global movement. And because of that, then basketball became such a global sport.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Shout out to Larry O'Brien and...
Next question.
Let's go.
Because this is history and it's trivia this week.
Yeah.
What sport started on the back of basketball? So you got YMCA. Flex, I need you to get that email sent about that sport I'm talking about here. When you get a reference up.
Can I throw a guess?
Go for it, Amit.
Netball?
Netball is correct, James.
Yeah.
Nice. So the YMCA,
what's happening with me?
The young men are playing the basketball and they're like, okay, we need something for the women folk to do. So basically netball is a softer version of basketball, right?
Right, yeah.
And that's how netball came about. So Flex, there was a thing I sent you about what happened recently in New Zealand. You see this? Netball.
What happened?
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind this. Did you see this over the weekend? So these men are playing netball.
Still against it as an institution.
And prior to the match, this is what took place. They had a little Aussie haka creative ensemble.
Get him! Ooh!
Now, if you're not watching us live here, this is quite a spectacle to actually see what these guys are doing.
What is going on with Australia these days and dancing? They're really going for it.
It's a lot, eh? So this blew my mind for a couple of reasons. Firstly,
this is not even a thing.
Thanks, Flex.
Get us into shit there, Flex.
Firstly, and look, if you're playing sport in this world, cool, great.
Go for it, yeah.
Just go for it. But netball's a women's sport, right?
Right.
Seeing guys playing netball just seems weird. And that's not me being prejudiced or homophobic or anything.
But I've been seeing a big, you know, breakout of men playing netball. I've been seeing it. And it's also, look, I'm not going to lie to you, it's weird for me as a guy who loves basketball.
It's a bit like going to a 21st, right? And what happens is that you buy beers and you buy ciders. Mm. Beers for the guys, ciders for the women folk. Yeah. Then the guys get there and go, yeah, I would have... They drink all the sides. It's like, guys, come on.
I love me a good old Bernini blush, so I'm conflicted.
But with a Bernini blush, has been bought for the women folk. Oh. Go for the beers.
Yeah, it's strange for me. Actually, that dance is just everything. Like, Australia's going through a lot in their dance movement. So,
but why do they take it there?
So
I was looking at that video, and I was sort of looking at comments online and stuff, and like people are saying, basically, this has taken men's netball back 100 years.
No, they're going to be like, just,
it's put done. On so many stereotypes.
Oh, my goodness. And just Australia, just do less with the dancing, guys. We see your goat has retired from breakdancing. You don't need to replace it. You don't have to do all of this.
So true. Ray Gun officially, James, you're a big Ray Gun fan, huh? She officially retired this last week.
She did. She did retire. Sad days for us dancing enthusiasts in Australia. Not a good time for us. We're mourning is what's
Australia,
happening.
Do less. That's all I've got to say. Just do less.
Yeah, look, I mean, look. Play your sport. I just think netball for men will forever be weird for me.
Yeah, it's just...
Because I remember when I used to play action cricket a long time ago, and there would be mixed netball. It's like, bro, can you not play cricket?
That's what I've been saying about this netball thing. There is this whole new, I don't know if it's new, but mixed netball type of vibe. It's not for me because I've come from a basketball era, and I just don't get netball. You can't bounce the ball, so and too much rules.
And there's paddle. You can play paddle. There's so many other games you can play.
If I feel attacked or not. But
just, no, but I'm just saying it's just such a great game, and you can play mixed paddle. That's cool.
Anyway.
All right, so look, we've gone through the things that they invented.
Right.
Now we need to go through what are they actually good at.
Oh.
Because if you think any sport or you think British sport, look at the icons, right? So Lewis Hamilton, Thomas Ford invented the car, so we...
I don't think you got that right.
I fucked Thomas Ford up terribly.
Yes.
It definitely wasn't Thomas Ford.
I said, I feel like I know that that's incorrect.
Henry Ford.
Yes.
Henry Ford invented... Thomas Ford invented grey sunglasses and fragrances. Henry Ford obviously invented the car.
Yes.
And then someone raced it. So we can't say the Brits invented motorsport, but Lewis Hamilton, one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
There was the era where Andy Murray was great at tennis.
Was he?
But, no, let me finish. Compare it to the actual greats of the game.
Thank you.
Yeah, drop in the ocean.
Yeah, 100%.
Like I said, Mark Cavendish was a celebrated cyclist. He's also just retired.
What's his juice? What's his juice intake? Is he chilled?
He wasn't exactly like... He wasn't in the Oaks. He wasn't the big juicing... look, they've all took something.
Okay, cool.
So then we look at who else in English sports been really, really great. There's been fantastic Olympians. Really is. But if you look currently right now, the best thing about English sport is women's sport.
Okay.
Because early adopters, good resources, very competitive, and they've got the infrastructure to do so. So if you look currently, they ranked number one in rugby union. Men's team, 7th.
Yeah, because they're quite shite.
Very. They ranked 2nd in the T20s and ODIs in cricket, the English women. Okay, so that's up there. Because in relation to what they've invented, this is where I'm trying to go with this.
I'm with you.
And then in football, women are 2nd.
Oh, yeah, but USA kicking ass.
USA is always going to win.
Yeah.
But the British women, they're 2nd.
And then the men's game?
I don't know. I didn't go that far down the list.
The men's game,
I lose interest. When I do research, I get to a certain point.
Yeah.
So cricket's in the men's, I mean, sure, they've won some World Cups, some T20s, that kind of stuff. They've had decent sides. They've got lots of resources. So, yeah, they're decent. They're decent.
Yeah.
Tennis currently?
Horse shit.
Their best guy is a guy called Jack Draper. He's 15th in the world.
Guy sounds like somebody from Peaky Blinders. But anyway, let's move on.
And then in the women, they've got Katie Bolter. She's 24th. So exactly, no great shakes there. Mm. And then to go into what are the English good at? Football. Haven't won a trophy since 1966. We all know
shout
that.
Shout out Bobby Charlton.
One of our favorite accounts in all of X is the day since 1996.
What day are we?
We're currently on 21,334 days since England's won a trophy. True story.
True, guys, that account is the best.
But I will try come to their defense here, and I want to get your thoughts on this, is that do they have the best professional football league in the world with the English Premier League?
They have the most popular. I'd say the most popular.
But if you look at Champions League wins in the last decade?
La Liga.
Still?
La Liga. Real even, Madrid.
Even with Man City and Liverpool winning what
they've
only,
won? That's only two. I mean, Luka Modric's got like five now at Real Madrid. So, look, one thing we can say about British sports is that they're great innovators, but in terms of once the game becomes globalized, too stuck in their ways, they're always super traditional about things. And, you know, once you globalize the game, early adapters. So, shout out to them for the inventions, but, you know, the globalization.
Get the ball rolling.
Yeah, I mean, just give us more sport. We'll be better at it.
Just give us some more sport, we'll refine it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So to finish up the section, like, why do you think that people gravitate towards cheering against England? Like, is it so? Whether it is team sports predominantly, okay. I don't often see people being like anti-individual players. Yeah, you don't see like a tennis player getting jeered or laughed at.
Yeah, it's it's the bully, you know, like. Everybody loves Kevin Peterson now because he's actually back to being a South African arc. But when he was captain of the fucking British team, we hated him because he represented one, colonialism, but two, like this old school way of doing things and pompous way of doing things. You know, same reason I used to hate Andy Flintoff, but then when he goes like, when he's no longer Andy Flintoff and he's a commentator. You know, you got a lot more respect for him.
Have you seen Andrew? Sorry, side note. Have you seen him now?
No, is he like terrible?
Dude, he almost died in a car accident.
Is he like finished?
I wouldn't say he's going to be. He doesn't look his best.
Okay.
But this poor oak, he almost died in a car accident. He's been through the most. Yeah. But he's back on his feet.
Great yeah, so turn. It's just that pompous energy of, you know, England. Nobody likes, you know, the guy with a lot of money and the guy from Eton and all of that guy. That's what they represent globally and politically and in sports.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so they're just like, it's too pompous. It's too ha 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 and snotty. So I never want England to win anything because when they win, they rub it in everybody's faces. Remember, Johnny Wilkinson was compared to Daniel Carter. And thank God Daniel Carter closed the door on that for the rest of his career. But we will always be remembered about this 03 team. Is it 03?
Yes. That's the only time England won the World Cup.
Yeah, the 03 team, which, look, they really weren't that great. They just won a World Cup. 1966 World Cup team. Okay, Bobby Charlton, we get you. After that, it's just like overly done. And what are they saying about if they win the Euros and the World Cup? We bring in football home. Well, eat that.
See, that's the thing. They don't help themselves. Yep. They score a lot of own goals in the whole being liked thing.
Yeah.
Because I also think of it as that because they invented the sports, they're everyone's oldest rival. So therefore, there's the fiercest rivalry. They were also the best in the beginning of everything. So everybody wants to beat the best.
Yeah.
So I think that's how it all started. But as that's eroded, their shitty personalities and just not being likable, although the Irish rugby team is just taking it to a whole new level. So.
Yeah. But can you imagine?
England are the worst.
Can you imagine if England now were to just win Football World Cup, Cricket World Cup, and oh my God, and the Rugby World Cup? We would not hear the end of that reign. We would not hear the end. So we do not want England to win anything anytime soon and for the rest of our lives. I'm happy with that. I'll live with that.
That'd be like watching Man United win anything, also.
Yeah, well said, James. It'd just be weird. And it'll be awkward for so many people.
Yeah,
nobody would like it. It would get so stale so quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, so finishing, final thing here. Of all the English sports people, who have been your favorite? Give me like your top five. It doesn't have to be current. Sports stars that England have given us that you actually like.
Look, number one for me is still going to always be Lewis Hamilton. I think what he's done just for the sport and for as a person of color, you know, you never get to see that a lot, especially in English sports. So he's represented so many different things. Number two, obviously, you know, if you come from the 90s, David Beckham is huge.
Obviously.
Even though he's not all that.
James Slow's posters on his wall.
Yeah. I mean, just cultural icon and, you know, football icon as well. Wayne Rooney, for me, Man United fan, I cannot run away from that.
Shout out brothels.
I don't know. Do we consider KP?
Yeah, sure. British? He's got a three lions tattoo. Yeah, obviously, basically, that's
have we forgiven KP? I don't know if my big issue is with CSA, because could you imagine if he stayed in our national team structures?
He wouldn't have made it though, because going there and having to get the bad hairstyles, the bad tattoos, having a chip on his shoulder, that's what unleashed the beast in him. Yeah. If he had stayed here and he had a cushy CSA contract, he would have never been anything more than potentially Reza Hendricks.
Hectic.
I hold Reza Hendricks in high regard, but he's not the world's best.
Obviously, I'm going to give Johnny Wilkinson, because there's nothing better than that boot for 1 year. That boot was, golden standard.
To be fair, Johnny was great for more than 1 year.
No, no, no. No, no, no.
There are some things that you are dismissive about, which I always find so funny.
Give him that World Cup and the rest is history.
All righty, we're going to come back with what is happening this weekend. It's another great sporting weekend, just like everyone has been. But there's some really cool highlights here. Of course, the Box taking on England. Ireland hopefully losing again. We've got the end of the DP World Tour in Dubai. Great, great field assembled there. And then, as I said at the start of the show, there's a really good fight weekend. So, sporting preview for the weekend after the break. So welcome back. It is the sporting weekend ahead. It's a really great time. And we are getting closer and closer to the Nedbank Golf Challenge, of course, which is the 5th to the 8th of December. So on our Real Network channels, there is a really cool series that I did with some key role players of that event. It's called The Road to the NGC. Find it on our YouTube channel. Find the cutdowns and the sort of show teasers on our social media channels. But a really cool series of interviews for what is just an absolute benchmark event here in South Africa. So for the sporting weekend ahead, well, let's just touch on the weekend that was. Now, for 2 weeks running now, there's been the best rugby meme we've had for quite some time. You see the one with, it's the picture of the...
Sure, it's been bad, yeah.
There's a fine line between success and failure and international sport. It's called the equator. It was funny 2 weeks ago. It was even funnier last week.
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
Shout out Fiji.
Ireland losing to New Zealand. I didn't see that coming, but happy, so happy. Because I think Ireland have become like the new England of rugby. They're so smug. They're so unlikable. And even their fans, they cheer far too much for a knock-on or an opposition penalty.
And 1-0.
They just come across as a bit like dicks.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I don't have a problem with saying
that. Did they lose the Rayburn Cup then?
They'd have lost the Rayburn Shield. It has now gone to New Zealand, who will be taking on this weekend France, the winner of which will be the Rayburn Shield holders.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, obviously, I'm hoping New Zealand retain it, so then we can take the Rayburn in the rugby championship.
Then we can just win everything else.
And then we can have everything, because we don't have the Rayburn Shield.
Oh, crazy.
And it'll make you so happy, I know. But if you look at the rugby rankings, they are currently order restored, basically, as you can
finally
see. Finally! South Africa, number one. Look at that. A big, shining 92.46 points. New Zealand up to second. Ireland are down to third. France are in fourth, Argentina are in fifth. If you're wondering where England is, we mentioned earlier, they are seventh. Pretty shite. Australia beating them last week was
again. I told you about this. There's something about Australia having a little bit of dog in them. They have a little bit of dog in them, and they can just play open rugby because nobody expects them to do anything. And they played terribly, but England played fucking worse.
Well, England have found a way. It's like... yesterday when I was winning that golf trophy, a mate of mine said that it's just really weird that England are basically the opposite of the Springboks. The Springboks find a way to win. England find a way to lose.
They should have not even...
But it's just odd. They actually do. It's just... You can watch in the game. And on Saturday, we were having our fines meeting at the golf club. And we saw the score. We saw how much time was left. We thought, you know what? Let's just pause this for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
And there we're all watching these guys absolutely bottle it.
Shank it.
Because they bottled it so much against New Zealand, right? Yeah. Only way you can describe that.
Yeah,
so order has been restored, thankfully. So Friday, Ireland will be taking Argentina. Argentina just absolutely hammered Italy.
Mm.
So when I saw the Italy game, I was like, Italy supposedly had a good Six Nations. How good is the Six Nations then? Because Argentina, they put 50 against them.
They put their hands on them. And like we said, they've got that hustle in them, and they're super strong, and that counter rugby. Woo! guys, Argentina is something to, you know, we have to give them a lot of credibility from coming from, you know, the championship they just played out against us. That team is really good.
It is really good. And I think if the weather's going to be okay in Ireland, and I think if the referee gets a good handle on the match, because the Irish hatch, I think the Irish Achilles heel is that they don't know how to properly ruck. I think they go offside a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of like the All Blacks a few years back, where they used to take a lot of cheap shots, as in like professional fouls, that kind of thing. And I think the Irish have become so arrogant. And I know that's a strong statement, but I think the Irish have become so full of themselves, and they've doubled down on the fact that they think they're the best team, even though they can't play World Cups, is that those aspects of their game are now becoming ingrained a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So against a ref that can see it, against disciplined Argentina, I still think Ireland are going to win this game, but I cannot wait to watch this. Friday, 10 o'clock, it's the late one again. So try stab for that one. I think it's going to be fantastic. Saturday, we've got Scotland after getting handled by the box.
Not really. We almost choked it. And you know, it's our standards.
It is our standards. The Scots were looking good for a long time. I think our backline defensively wasn't as sharp, because when you take away the two best centres in the world, Damien Dillon and Jesse Creel, that whole backline does change. It's great to see André Hesterzen play.
Yeah.
It's great seeing Lucanio Am, who I know is still a shadow of his former self, but those Oaks aren't on the level of our incumbent first choices.
Cool.
Simple as that. And when you watch how good the Scottish centres were, you go, yeah, I see that.
That's the best you're at. Oh, but my boy Vili, that's all, you know, for me, great to see Vili get that cap. We were one step closer.
Great first half, yes. Vili.
Yeah, great first half. We're one step closer, guys. Let's see if we get him again this weekend.
So that's 5 o'clock. England, SA, the big one. That's 20-8 South African time. So I mentioned something over the weekend, that the box scrum is now, has probably overtaken Jacques Cullis' cover drive as the best thing in SA sport. And somehow people actually disputed this.
Saying still all time. That cover drive was all time, man.
How many World Cups did that cover drive win?
Oh, man. Blame the curse of Alan Donald on that. That's Alan Donald.
Stop bringing Alan into this.
I told you it's Alan's
leave
fault.
Leave that man alone.
It's Alan's fault.
The box scrum, it's a thing, right?
Yeah.
It works all the time. It's an icon of our society.
Yeah.
It is the hallmark of success.
Yeah.
And it makes people shit their pants on the opposite side.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I said cool. That. I think it's
close. Jacques Cullis' cover drive is all time. You can't even, it's up there.
Did Jacques Cullis' cover drive make bowlers scared of him?
Yeah.
Well, then they just bowled him a bouncer. You cannot get away from the box scrum.
Okay.
It's the best thing in SA sport.
I'm glad you challenged them, guys. I appreciate y'all. Gee whiz.
Okay, so France, New Zealand's other really big game of rugby this weekend. That'll also be the later one on Saturday at 10 o'clock. So I think if France win this game, which I think they will, I mean, I'm all behind New Zealand and I'd never write them off. But this French team was clinical against Japan. We said two shows ago, these Oaks have got a lot to prove, because they also had a World Cup disappointment.
It's Japan, Ben.
Okay.
You got to feel me on that. It's Japan.
I just think this French team is going to be very dangerous, because I think deep down DuPont knows that winning an Olympic medal meant nothing to French rugby.
Yep.
It was a sevens thing. It was cool. It was a nice to have. But these Oaks have to put away the big teams in the 15-man game.
Yeah. I just think New Zealand is New Zealand, and they're going to show up to this occasion. Like, they always find a way to get it done. So I really have
Bowden Barrett, Cody Taylor are back.
Yeah, I have them. I just have them winning this game.
Well.
You can't see it.
I can't see it, but I want to see it. I want to see New Zealand go unbeaten here. Yeah. I want New Zealand to be as good as possible for the next rugby championship. I want it to be so resurgent by the time they play the box again.
And we give them that work.
And we'll be like,
told you so.
Yeah, we are really the best, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously in football, there's the UEFA Nations Cup, which nobody wants to watch. Okay, that sounds harsh. But
no, say it. I'm with you.
I hate the fact that we're trying to get momentum going for the Arsenal title. We're trying to get momentum going for the Premier League. And then it's like, and here we go into an international break.
Needed it.
It's like watching a really great argument happen, and then the show host goes, and right now we're going to take a break. We're back after this.
Yep. It kind of cuts you. Oh, it cuts you at the legs. Imagine me and my resurgent Man United team.
Of course, your resurgent Man United team with a resurgent new manager.
Yes. So, like I said, too much European football. But what I'm super excited about, and I hope I'm not jumping the gun, is Bafana get to close it off.
So that's AFCON this weekend, hey?
AFCON
Friday.
This weekend. Yep.
It's a strange time because it's 3 o'clock. Does it get dark in Uganda quickly? Or
yeah, I think we just got a weird kickoff. But it's super exciting. Hugo Bruce gets to close it off. He's been very successful in this road to AFCON. And we just need a point. Let's not do the old school Bafana Bafana thing and shank it and hope. But I think that era's over. We go to Uganda, get that victory, and all the exciting stuff is done.
Yeah, and again, it's just the guys have done the work. They've got the processes. It's just about rocking up and just doing it, just ticking this off now, because there should be contenders at AFCON.
Yes.
They shouldn't be fucking around with, are we going to get to AFCON?
Yeah.
It's a different conversation.
100%.
So UFC 309 is, of course, another big one this weekend. Now, Stipe Miocic versus John Jones. It will obviously be the headline on any card. Mm-hmm. It is the headline for the 309 card. So that'll be probably around like 4, 5, 8. The main card will probably start 4 South African time Sunday morning. So if you look at the card.
Is it actually?
Well, the main card starts. So the bottom fight there, Chris Weidman versus Eric Anders.
Yeah.
Anders. So that'll be like from the 4 a.m. Anthony Smith, Dominic Reyes, cool heritage there. Let's just go straight to the third last fight. This is where people are going to be very excited.
Yeah.
Bo Nickel, the next big thing in the UFC. Mm-hmm. He's also in the middleweight division. He basically was like the don of college wrestling, and he's just basically broken everyone he's fought against. Okay. No one's been even close to him. He's taking on Paul Craig. Again, experienced kind of English guy, I think he is. That's a great fight to get excited about. So I would say wake up at around 5:45, start watching for that.
Cool.
And then we've got Charles Oliveira versus Michael Chandler. That poor Michael Chandler waited for Conor McGregor for 2 years.
And then never got him.
Conor McGregor was taking steroids. He was doing sniff. He was inside the drug pool. He was outside the drug pool.
Movies.
He was 85 kilograms. He was all over the place.
Shout out to Conor. He just don't want to do it no more.
So this poor Oak, I mean, he is kind of at the edge of his career. He's mid-30s. I think he's like actually 36, 37. Mm. But he's a real great fighter. He gives everything. He came up against Charles Oliveira, the guy he's fighting this weekend for the vacant title after Khabib basically retired.
Yeah.
He rocked Oliveira. He could have had him. Literally, the round stopped. As in, he was about to win the fight.
And
it was saved by the bell. And Oliveira came back. The Soak's got powers of like rejuvenation. Yeah. And he beat him.
Yeah.
And after trying to lose to Oliveira, he then lost a few big fights. He then beat Tony Ferguson like everyone else, and then he's been just doing nothing.
Yeah,
I think he's the second most inactive person in the whole roster, as in he hasn't fought for so long. The most inactive person, Stipe Miocic. He hasn't fought since Ngannou fucking cleaned his taps 3 and a bit years ago.
He hasn't fought that long. He's going against John Jones.
And he's 42. He's a fireman. You can never understand what he says. There we go. That's what the real poster looks like for this this whole thing. Flex, go to the next slide, please. This is what someone put down for the truthful poster, right? Okay, so 4 years of inactivity. John Jones, 2 years of inactivity.
Sheesh.
John Jones, most days without a title of defense because he's just been the fan. He's been the title holder with no defenses.
Yeah.
Most days without fighting before a title shot is what Stipe's got against him. And both of these guys will not fight the rising British, this is the theme, right?
Yep.
The rising British star, Tom Aspinall. So this is a legacy fight. Dana White's obviously hugely excited about it because John Jones is the greatest to ever do it.
Yeah.
Stipe is the greatest heavyweight of all time, mm-hmm. which isn't, that's like saying we're the best sports cast in Sandton.
It's really,
it's like we haven't got the greatest stats, like not world's greatest podcast.
Yeah.
So they're trying to hype this fight out. They also need to make it happen because both of these guys might retire. Yeah. Stipe is definitely retiring after this.
And Jones?
I think Jones will want to duck Aspinall, finish on a high.
And say, cheers, buddy.
And because he has been the greatest.
Yeah.
Cocaine binges aside and all the other kind of things, being arrested, the Soak has been the greatest mixed martial artist of all time. For him to now fight against a guy like Tom Aspinall.
And get his ass beat.
I think it's a real legacy kind of downer. Mm. So that's UFC 309. I'll get a little bit more into that on the Gareth Cliff show on Friday because, I mean, it is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
But Tyson versus Paul, how do you feel about that?
Look, we killed it at the beginning of the year because it was in July when they were meant to fight. Then Tyson got hurt. No, actually he had some major health issues. Then subsequent to that, he got better. He got super fit. If you look at like Tyson's Instagram and just the documentary that came out.
He got super fit 58-year-old fit.
Nah, he's looking strong. And I think Jake Paul's in some trouble. But it's one of those show fights, like we've always been saying, what's been going on with boxing. If you are not a huge boxing fan, this is where you get into it. I mean, you've got a big generation who don't know who Mike Tyson is. They don't know he's the world's baddest man. And you've got, you know, Jake Paul, who everybody hates, you know. So our generation is saying Mike Tyson's going to absolutely destroy him. And people are saying Jake Paul is going to destroy Mike Tyson, which is something we've never heard of. But I think it's just one of those big show fights. But I think outside of that, the women's fight is also big. I know you're not a huge fan of it, but you've got arguably two of the best fighters, female fighters right now, boxing, who are going to go up against each other. And it was a tight, tight fight the one before. So it's a revenge match, and we're going to see what's going there. But it's a YouTube fight. Guys, get into it, support it. Don't be too into it. It's really an entertainment fight, so it's at 3 a.m.
Okay, I kind of lost you when you were mentioning women, but not mentioning names. It's not a YouTube fight. It's a Netflix fight. It'll be on Netflix.
YouTube.
Saturday, 3 a.m.
The YouTuber.
Okay. Jake, all right, let's get things together.
Yep.
So people are saying like Tyson's only got a small window to beat him in. So if he doesn't go in the first round, it happened. But then that was Tyson's whole career. He came out guns blazing.
That's what he does.
Jake Paul hasn't come out guns blazing because he's fought MMA guys he's picked off.
Yep.
So that first round or two is going to be fascinating because Jake Paul does not have, I think, the explosiveness. I mean, he's a great boxer. He's had to put on 20 pounds. So now he's fighting heavier.
How's he going to move with all of that?
This is the thing. Great point. Okay. So now you've got a guy who's now fighting heavier for the sake of being a heavyweight. Mm-hmm. There are so many other things that Jake Paul doesn't have going to this fight. I think Tyson's going to win.
44 knockouts, guys. You got to see how dominant Mike was. Well,
look, the only stat for Tyson is 58.
Yeah.
He's 58 years old.
Yeah.
But if you look at all the different variables about Jake Paul having to add to this fight, this is why I think Tyson's going to win. Yeah. And I, like anyone else, just like the guys cheering against the Poms, everyone's cheering against Jake Paul. Look, there's obviously a couple other things to go for this weekend. You know, we obviously, at time of recording now, the Proteas have not played India at Centurion yet.
Yeah.
So I don't really want to comment on that. I know the final game is Wanderers on Friday. Yeah.
Go Proteas, man.
Go Proteas.
I'm switching up. You guys, you know, after giving a shit show first game, you came back second game. And, you know, at the corner of our eyes during the Bok game, we're like, what is going on there with the Proteas? Bowled well. And, you know, it's very, you know, you don't see it often when India batting order collapses, and you know the guys bowled really well, so I'm going to give them their credit, and this week I'm just going to let them be. Shout out to Proteas.
Yeah, exactly. And then of course the DP World Tour finals takes place. That is the end of the DP World Tour, which obviously was the European Tour. Now if you look at the order of merit going into that, Thriston Lawrence, only guy I know called Thriston, he's second to Rory McIlroy. McIlroy I think has won this thing 5 times. He's going for his 6th title. It's a huge thing for Rory. Also a huge thing for Thriston, though, because the top 10 Oaks there, they get share of $6 million.
Hectic.
Are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here. I'm
sorry.
Yes.
Okay, the show's getting on. Sandile's looking at his phone for other things. So I think we should just wrap it up there. All right, big sporting weekend ahead. Go the Booker. I want you to give the English 30. That's not me getting heavy on the Heineken zeros here. 30 points
are
what the box are better than England on.
Proteas, let's go this weekend. I'm backing you on Saturday. Yeah, let's go. I'm backing you guys. That's it.
Let that be the final word of the show.
Go Proteas.